Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Studio, and this is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us. We've got a jam-packed full hour of Penn State football talk for you. I'm Andy Shea, joining me, Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News, and Ross Tucker, the third member of our team, will join us shortly for the final three segments of our show. Bob Flounders, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I caught that little laugh in your voice there. I don't know why you would have possibly sounded like that, but I have a pretty good reason why. It was going to be a nice little easy spring blue-white breakdown, and
no,
as is wont to happen,
Wednesday afternoon,
when you least expect it on the Penn State football beat, it happens.
Yep, it got busy and a little bit crazy on Wednesday afternoon, and we might talk about a little bit of that on our show today. I think you guys know what we're talking about, but we have a lot to get to, so this is our breakdown. News and notes will kick us off, followed by Tucker's Tape, being brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Quarter number three, we're once again going to put on hold your questions and his answers in the Ask Ross segment. Last week, we had Jason Kabinda. This week, we're going to focus solely on Tommy Stevens, Penn State's quarterback, his move to enter the transfer portal. That'll be coming up in quarter three.
I thought you were going to talk about Zach McPherson going to Texas Tech. Completely threw me off.
Juwan Johnson going to Oregon.
Tommy? Okay.
We might talk about Tommy Stevens and the quarterback position. And in quarter four, we're going to give you our blue white game takeaways.
What a game it was. What a beaut.
I bet you love that running clock. I know.
Oh, man. That was sweet. That I don't know clock. If the fans loved it, but I think maybe the fans did love it.
Because it was beautiful out.
I mean,
yeah.
And it was kind of time to enjoy the day.
It was a very interesting Saturday before. All right, let's go. So let's just get it out of the way. We're going to talk about it just a little bit here in quarter number one. Reports came out Wednesday afternoon that Penn State redshirt senior quarterback Tommy Stevens has entered the NCAA transfer portal. Remember, entering the portal does not necessarily mean he has to transfer. He will be a grad transfer, obviously, so he will not have to sit out a year. Penn State can still pull a scholarship if they want as well, correct? So it's
yeah, I think Penn State has shown in the past, recent past, that that's probably not what's going to happen. Let's just talk about Juwan Johnson. Flew out the portal. A couple other, Jarvis Miller, out the portal. I don't know if we consider Manny Bowen a portal guy, but he might have been a portal guy. Lamont Wade, who was not going to graduate, right, in the portal, bounced back out of the portal, still at Penn State, could start. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with old Tommy Stevens, but as a fifth-year senior, I mean, I think if you were going to put odds on it, it might be leaning towards Audi.
Yeah, there was a little cryptic quote from his father in the CDT.
Sure.
On Monday,
I read
that
story.
I was like,
it was last week, I think, wasn't it? Was it Monday?
It
was before the blue-white game.
It was before the blue-white game.
Then he essentially said, look, hey, Sean Clifford.
He's a starter.
Sean Clifford's a great player. Tommy's going to play this year. Hopefully he'll be at Penn State. But if not at Penn State, he's going to play somewhere else.
Tea leaves right there. And, you know, right after it was reported that Tommy had entered the transfer portal, you had players wishing him well on social media. We're going to miss number two.
Yeah.
All indicators point that number two is definitely going to leave Penn State.
Yeah. So a couple things, just factual things, because we're going to get into it in greater detail. So at the conclusion of every spring, James Franklin and his staff meet with every player, and James says we're very honest with them. We give them a breakdown of where we see them, how their spring went, what we see for them in the fall, what you need to work on. I have no doubt that there was going to be a meeting between Tommy and James at the end of spring to discuss the future. Now, he didn't play. He was very limited in spring. He had foot surgery after the regular season, missed the bowl game.
Right.
Okay, so that's all as a backdrop. Also, it's also worth noting that it was not the Penn State team doctor that did the surgery. Tommy, when he was made available to the press during the spring, was talking about the injury issues that he played through, and James Franklin acknowledged it, but he kind of said that the first time they tried to fix it, they didn't really fix it. We got it fixed, and that was with an eye towards playing this year. Now, with all of that said, at the end of the Blue-White game, Rich Scarcella, the Reading Eagle, late in James Franklin's press conference, just said, "Hey, James, are you ready to name? Are you ready to name Tommy the starter? Where is it at? What are your thoughts on the position?" He just asked him for a clarification. James could have said what he said at the start of spring. He could have said, "You know, as we go into spring practice, Tommy's one, Sean's two." He could have said, "As we go into summer practice, Tommy's one, Sean's two, we'll let it play out." That's not what James said. James said it is more like a true competition. And lo and behold, a couple of days later, you know, you have Tommy with this announcement. There's no question in my mind, I think, that he and James had a conversation. I think when Tommy heard those comments at the Blue-White spring game, that probably hastened the conversation. We don't know all of the facts, but it can't be a coincidence that this is happening this soon after the Blue-White game, after what James said, and after, you know, you would anticipate those two had a meeting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I know that was a lot of rambling, but I was just trying to kind of set the stage
for
what may have happened.
Yeah, and we will have a full segment on Tommy Stevens entering the NCAA transfer portal coming up in quarter number three. You'll want to stick around for that. Ross Tucker and Bob Flounders, I'm sure, we'll be having a lively conversation about what the heck is going on. Meanwhile, there sits Sean Clifford, just getting better, getting bigger, getting stronger, looking good in the Blue-White game. It's not a lose-lose situation. All right. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Remember, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Quarter number one, Bob Flounders, Andy Shea. We've got some news and notes for you. We already talked about the big news that happened Wednesday afternoon. Let's get a couple other things I want to get to in this segment. There's some recruiting news, and I think it's relevant. I think we should chat about this. Penn State, which they weren't really thinking that they were going to make a lot of noise,
right,
on the recruiting front. There were not. It wasn't really an official visit period. It was unofficial.
They weren't set up to make some noise. There were no official visits. James Franklin said, "Look, it's about the current players. I don't spend enough time with them and their families. This is really about the guys on the team. We've learned in our 6 years here that kids will come here. They'll fly here and take an unofficial. So we're not gonna make this a big recruiting weekend moving forward." But that does not mean that, you know, prospective student athletes won't visit Penn State, come away impressed with it, and maybe decide to commit. And I think that was the case with the two players that Penn State got.
Yeah, the first one they got was before the game, offensive lineman RJ Adams from Woodbridge, Virginia. He's the high school teammate of one of the best players in the country.
Correct. Yeah. There may be a bigger fish that Penn State's going to cast its net around with regard to Mr. Adams and the school he plays at.
Anyway, RJ Adams is a three-star. He's a number 21 ranked offensive guard nationally in the 2020 class. 6'3", 309 pounds, definitely an inside guy, big kid. Anytime you get offensive line commitments, and they're still going to add some more to this class, but they're doing good. They're doing well on the offensive line front in the 2020 class so far, and RJ Adams adds to it. The second commitment came from four-star defensive tackle Cole Brevard.
Yes. Did you see Greg Picklett? No, I'm just kidding. Let's go with Brevard.
That's what I thought. He's a four-star Indiana defensive tackle.
The great state of Indiana.
The hardest position, in my opinion, to recruit in college football is to get defensive tackle. He chose the Nittany Lions over Michigan, Wisconsin, and Indiana were the other schools that he considered. He's 6'3", 280 pounds, number 20 ranked defensive tackle nationally in the 2020 class, number one player in Indiana. So the 2020 class for Penn State now stands at 8. Mm-hmm. That's a good number coming out of spring.
Yeah.
They're inside the top 10 nationally in terms of their, you know, rating and composite rating. Right where you expect them to be. So here's my interesting tidbit from this.
I can't wait.
I have an interesting tidbit for you. It doesn't involve numbers, ladies and gentlemen, and Ross isn't here to bang me about the numbers. But I went back and looked. So both these kids are inside the top 25 at their position nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, like, you know, we've been doing recruiting stuff and as we've been working through Ross's ranking, which we're going to put on hold again, but we'll pick up again next week. I kept thinking, I type a lot when I do this stuff on these kids and get ready for Ross to do his analysis. I keep typing top 15, top 20 nationally. So I went back and looked at the 18, 19 and what they have in the 20 class. And it is well over 50% of the players that they have recruited in the 18, 19, and what they have so far in 20 mm-hmm. are inside the top 25 nationally mm-hmm. at their position. So, in other words, almost six out of 10 times that Penn State gets a player, they're getting the kid that's top 25 nationally. That's... I know the star rating matters, yeah. but to me, that's another sort of factor that
So you're saying if you build it, they will come. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying as they're building
yeah.
it,
yeah.
the better talent's sure. starting to come. Yep. So it was a great recruiting weekend for Penn State in terms of commitments and all the unofficial visits. You saw the pictures with the 2019 class and their families and James on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how it's going to be going forward because the timeline has changed. All right, a beautiful Saturday. They estimated the crowd at 61,000. I think that's a fair number looking at it.
Give or take 5 or 8,000.
How many were outside that stadium?
Well, honestly, and it's such a nice day, and they didn't know. The game was over in about an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can – listen, it's you know what you're going to get with the blue-white game under James Franklin. He's kind of pulled back from it a little. The big guys aren't going to play much. It's about the walk-ons who we saw. It's about the first-year guys, the second-year guys. So if it's a nice day, why not spend it outside? And if you want to catch 15 minutes of the game, you can do that and then just head back to the tailgate because there haven't been very nice days to date in State College, so you have to take advantage of it.
So the 61,000 that they estimated puts Penn State as so far the games have been played this spring in terms of attendance as one of the top five. I think that's notable. People want to see this game. I know there's been some complaints about it on both sides. I like the old sort of Bill O'Brien, James, Joe Paterno. I thought I preferred it as a game, but you know what? I'm going to be honest. I like James Franklin's ways better.
Yeah, the last year that Bill O'Brien played it as a game, Zach Zwinek broke his wrist on his only carry, and it really compromised the 2013 season. So there you go.
So do you like the new way better than
– I can see what James is doing. Yeah. He was in the barn. There's no reason to. There's really no reason to expose anyone to injury. It's about what happens in the fall. I think if you feel like as a staff you've seen enough, then there's no reason to risk injury.
All right, a couple little quick tidbits before we get out. I'm sorry, Bob Flounders, to announce that there will be no caravan this year.
Brokenhearted.
Don't be brokenhearted about
so
it.
So upsetting.
And Penn State did lose another member of its off-the-field recruiting staff, became the director of football mm-hmm. operations at Brown University. You can expect more of that because when you have good dudes are going to get promoted. And if they don't get promoted from within, they're going to get jobs at other schools because Penn State is doing a great job with recruiting. All right. That's it. See, we didn't spend too much time on Tommy Stevens.
I think you're doing a tremendous job so far, but it's early.
We're going to have a lot more. Coming up, Ask Ross, review the blue-white game, what Ross thinks. Not Ask Ross. Tucker's Tape. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.